It is Locked On Jazz for the 3rd of October. A conversation with Mike Conley about his new world and a live show on a Thursday with all of your questions and comments. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully firing you up for the Jazz season. I do want to say thank you as we start this today. There were a bunch of nice little mentions about me and things of that nature on Twitter yesterday. It's not what the world's about, but it is appreciated. So I do want to at least acknowledge that, say thank you, and appreciate those comments. It makes it easy to work really hard and often for you guys. So thank you very much about this. We are Locked On Live today. You can follow it live on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, or Periscope, which is Twitter. We have all those available for you. We'll be taking your questions in the chat room as well. And we know that Matt Moon's going to want to meet Joe Ingles at some point in today's show. So those are all open for you. Please jump aboard and ask your questions. That's a large part of what our Thursday shows are about here on Locked On Live. So subscribe on any of those various features. We're also live on my Instagram account at DLock09. One note on these live shows. I know the audio is a little different. The majority of you still listen through the podcast, which is greatly appreciated. I know the audio is a little different. I hope it's not prohibitive. It's a little more hollow because there's just so many different mechanisms by which I'm recording the show right now, and I haven't gotten advanced enough to figure out another way to do that. So thank you very much for understanding that. I wanted to open the show with kind of a conversation with Mike Conley yesterday that I had that I thought was super interesting. You know, I was talking to Mike about the first part of the conversation was that frankly, he's never been on a team before in which he is not the primary ball handler. He has always had to go back to go get the ball. And, you know, that has been a huge burden on him in his career to be able to always have to go back and get the ball and then run the offense. And in turn, as we've talked about, he's had this huge percentage of possessions in the last 7 seconds of the shot clock. And then last year, as he got older, you know, he wasn't very good at those possessions, if we're totally honest about it. And I talked to him a little bit about it on different levels. One, the first part of it was just how hard will it be for him to adjust to the idea that he has to go, doesn't have to go back for the ball. And he said, you know, it's different. He's super excited for it. Super, super excited to not have that burden. And it's interesting how, you know, I think Mike's at a stage, he's such a delightful person. That's why he won every award imaginable. But I also think he's at a stage of his career in which he probably has a really good understanding of what that means for him. The other one, and so and we talked about this a tiny bit yesterday on the show. It's actually a bigger deal than we're making it. We're talking about all the shooting on the team. To me, the biggest adjustment change in this roster this year is that every four is a ball handler and a passer. Last year, the Jazz were the only team in the NBA that were playing two guys that were not ball handlers and were not passers. And in Favors and Gobert. There wasn't another team in the NBA that had two guys on the roster that were starting that were doing that. Then, if you looked at all of our fours, we talked about this yesterday, but Jay Crowder, Tabo Sefolosha, Derek Favors, no ball handlers, limited passers, none of them could play. Tabo or Jay, if they put the ball on the deck for more than two dribbles, you were in trouble. They could drive, straight line it. Jeff Green's basically a point guard at that position comfortably. George Niang is a very, very good ball handler. Joe or Boyan or Royce is going to play that position. And ironically enough, Royce is probably the least good ball handler of that group. And he's pretty good. So that, I think, tells you an awful lot about that. To me, that really is the largest difference of any part of this team right now. That the shooting is what we've all talked about, but it's the playmaking from multiple positions and that, you know, Mike Conley asked him, he's like, I'm ready to just go run down to the corner. And then the other part of that conversation I talked to Mike about was whether he was aware of how incredible a spot up, open, you know, open catch and shoot guy. He's in the 96th percentile last year. And his comment to that was basically, did I get any? And he got 99. So he really got just about one a game, one and a half a game, a little less than that last year. So he did not get a lot. But and think about that. If he were to start getting two open threes a game, that's doubling the amount of good looks he got. He joked, like, gosh, I thought everything was kind of this crossover bounce, you know, step back, you know, whatever it might be that I had. And they were all contested. And we talked about he's just how different that will be for him. And then the final part of this conversation that I thought was, you know, so interesting with Mike was the final 7 seconds. I said to him, just kind of, you know, I don't know him that well, but hey, like, were you aware that you used this amount of possessions in the final 7 seconds of the shot clock? And, you know, in those possessions, you only shot 33%. And, you know, that's, and what are those possessions? And do you think, you know, and it was interesting how he did not know. And his eyes lit up like, oh, wow. Like, I think his eyes lit up at the idea that he only shot 33%. I think he was pretty surprised by that, quite frankly. But I think then his eyes lit up about, whoa, think about what that means. You know, if I suddenly don't have those possessions anymore and I'm not being stuck at the end of a shot clock, and I might be, we had just come off the conversation about getting open looks. You know, I think these players are so smart that they know intuitively, like, what it means that the change that they're about to embark upon on is, but I don't think that, you know, when you put it to them sometimes in a statistical manner, they either think you're nuts, which, you know, Joe will quickly turn out. Yes, I'm wearing the Joe Ingles headband shirt, by the way. I found it and I actually have a spot for you to get it. So let me make sure, I'll tell you about that in a second, but let me finish this thought. And so you look at someone like Mike and he's using 27% of his possessions in the final 7 seconds of shot clock and shooting 33% on those, with an effective field goal percentage of about 39%, you take those out of him and he becomes incredible, right? His shooting percentage early in the clock was 53, middle 46, middle 7 to 15, 47, effective field goal percentage in the 60s and the 55s. His three-point shooting was 38, 41, and 40. His three-point shooting in the final 7 seconds of the shot clock was 27%. So what he made the comment to me that I didn't know, and this is what's so great about talking to these guys, is you end up getting a little another piece of all this, is what he talked to me about at that point was how tiring and difficult those possessions are, that those possessions are exhausting. And I thought that, I never thought about that, but from a Donovan standpoint and a Mike Conley standpoint, both of them buried with so many late possessions last year. And for Mike to sit there and say to me, wow, those are exhausting. Those are hard, he said. That was his exact comment. Yeah, those possessions are hard. So 27% of Mike Conley's possessions last year were what he defined as hard, physically on your body at 31, 32 years old. Now he likely doesn't get those possessions in the same manner. His efficiency increases, his burden decreases, his fatigue decreases. This is what I think excites Mike. And it's a tremendously different game for him. I don't know whether he'll go on Saturday or not. You know, I think they're really trying to load management him a little bit. I hope to see him, but we'll see him eventually. And it'll be interesting to watch him evolve out of going back to get the basketball every single time and how he's going to play that. So that was a great conversation. I love being in the gym with these guys. It's just awesome. And you get those moments and those times and that insight is totally super. So I have the Joe Ingles t-shirt on, the Joe Ingles headband t-shirt. I didn't know they were available. Locked On just did a partnership with Breaking Tee, the t-shirt company, and I found them there. So I don't know if you go to breakingtee.com/lockedon, you can get your Joe Ingles shirt. We did a bigger partnership with them on some other stuff, but I just found this. So I bought one. They're totally awesome. It's at breakingtee.com/lockedon. There's a collection of shirts there that are specific to our network, as we've done a partnership with them, but that one is there for you. I don't like have a promo code or a discount or anything like that for you. Like, they're just awesome. Like, everyone has to have a Joe Ingles breaking t-shirt like this, the Headband Joe t-shirt. We all have to have it. It's part of who we are as people, right? So it's available. I didn't even know you could get it. I was so excited when I met these guys and they let me know, that they had this shirt. I didn't actually know it was available. So anyway, breakingtee.com/lockedon. It is, I mean, we're not, I don't get anything for it. We are doing a partnership with them on some other things, but this one, I actually just threw it out there. So you guys would know about it and have it. It's on our Locked On page. It's a cool company too. But all right, I want to get to your questions. Take all that, and the rest of the show is your questions. So you're driving the rest of the show. When I was a program director of a talk show, if people send that to me, if a talk show host on our station had ever said, "All right, your questions next. You choose the topics," I would have fired them. So I'm clearly being lazy and terrible and awful. But I trust you enough to come up with great stuff, and Thursdays are always when I want you guys to have a little bit of insight on what's going on. I just saw one come across from Joe Korb on Instagram Live at DLock09. By the way, also Instagram stories every day on training camp reports and the Jazz. I'm trying to give you kind of almost your Amazon Alexa morning briefing and afternoon briefing on morning and afternoon briefing on Instagram stories, so make sure you follow me there. He asked, what's up on Igor? He is the assistant coach in Sacramento right now. So he's in India right now. So anyway, I'll check base with him here shortly. He and I have communicated throughout the summer. He seems happy, a little less stressed out, and hopefully he's doing great. All right, we'll get back to your questions and get your thoughts on everything. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at InterCap Lending. Brock, Steve Carter, and the crew have done amazing work at InterCap. I love it. They joined Josh Romney, brought the company to Utah, and they were a small little company. I met with them. Steve Carter did our refinance of our mortgage and was amazing at it. And so we added them as a sponsor. Since then, they have exploded. The reason is because they get deals done. I mean, that's really what it gets down to. It's customer service, it's communications, it's getting deals done. They now have 15 branches in Utah, from St. George to Logan, Twilla to Vernal, also in Boise and Vegas, and another in Phoenix. They've doubled their numbers for the year. Why? As one of the largest independent lenders, they're able to give you that custom service. Hyper responsive, they embrace change, and the borrower experience is fabulous. Steve Carter's out of this world. Steve Carter continues to get rave reviews, and he is our personal, the way we've set it up as part of this to get you the best deal possible is Steve Carter deals with all Locked On Jazz people. Therefore, we get a corporate account with them. And so if you go to Steve Carter, tell Steve Carter you're with Locked On Jazz, then you get the corporate account level with him and get that discount. 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. InterCap Lending, NMLS number 190465. That's 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Call Steve Carter, 385-800-8528. 385-800-8528. Today's show is also brought to you by Stealth Media. Eric Ellis and the guys over at Stealth Media are doing amazing jobs for you and can get you set up on DirecTV and AT&T. If you're ready to make your cell service switch, then right now is the time to do it with AT&T and add DirecTV. You can take it with you on the go. If you're streaming your DirecTV through an AT&T phone, it does not count as data for you at all, and gives you the best coverage, saves you money, lets you take it on the go. Combine your AT&T and DirecTV with Stealth Media. Call 385-399-4186. And he'll give you two things: Sunday ticket for free. That's right, the Sunday NFL ticket for free, plus a $100 gift card for you if you tell him you're with Locked On Jazz. Call Stealth Media, 385-399-4186. And an added bonus, Eric does some really cool stuff where he has the Man Cave TVs for you for less than you can get them at Best Buy or any of those kind of places. So he'll really deck you out all the way. So go over to Stealth Media, call Eric. It's 385-399-4186. Switch to DirecTV, switch to AT&T. Do it together and save even more money. Get the best coverage. Take it on the go with you for free data. It is 385-399-4186. All right, let's get to your questions. Goodwood coming in again on Instagram. Who has the ball at the end of the game, Mike or Don? I think it'll, or Boyan, or Jeff Green, or Joe Ellis, or Joe Ingles. Joe Ellis. That's a combination of Eric Ellis. Yes, Joe Ingles. I think the beauty of this is that you can actually let and trust Mike Conley enough to make a play. To me, that's actually what you can do. You have a point guard now in which you can have Donovan Mitchell coming off a pin down, Boyan coming off a pin down, Joe spaced out, Rudy on a roll, and let Mike Conley make a play. And trust Mike Conley to make a play. Donovan probably has not necessarily been at a stage of his career where you could necessarily trust him to entirely make a play yet. And I think that probably is the biggest difference to any aspect of who the Jazz are in the past. They have multiple options, and I think that that opens up the opportunity for them to do multiple things than just the Donovan isolation late in the games. We're bad at it. Donovan was bad in the clutch last year, and I think that hopefully that will change us. And we were not very good in close games. But if you run, you know, some of, let me see if I can find it, player clutch data. I have this up so I can go to it right during a game. I haven't checked it, obviously, since last April. Let me see if I have it up to date. It's on the 27-18 season, so let's go to 18-19. So last year in the clutch, Donovan shot 35.7% and 28%. That's in the final 5 minutes of a game, within 5 points. If we take it down even further and go down to, you know, 3 points or less final 3 minutes of a game last year, Donovan Mitchell was 12 of 39 for 31%. Jay Crowder was 2 of 10 and 0 of 8 from 3. Joe Ingles was 3 of 7, 1 of 5 from 3. Ricky Rubio was actually pretty good. And Donovan was 3 of 13 from 3. If we take it down, we're going to get down to a pretty small sample size. We get down to the final minute, and Donovan was 6 of 19, 1 of 6 from 3. Ingles was 0 for 4. Crowder was 1 of 3. Rudy was 1 of 3. You know, Donovan, in our final minute of a game within one possession, Donovan took 19 shot attempts. Ingles, Crowder, Gobert combined, which was our next set of choices. Think about that. Took 10. Donovan went, as a team in that circumstance, I did not know this, as a team last year, we were 2 of 16 from 3 in the final minute of a game within 3 points. Wow. I did not know that. 2 of 16 from 3 in that circumstance. Donovan had one, and Ricky Rubio had one. The other one that's really interesting on this one, and I don't mean to be critical, but I think it's going to be worth keeping an eye on. In games in which Ricky Rubio played in the clutch, final minute, we were 3-8. In games in which Rubio did not play, we were 4-2. And that gets into the tricky concept of his lack of shooting and lack of spacing that impacted him. If we even take games in the final 3 minutes, so you now have, you know, 3 minutes, one possession game at some point in this 3 minutes, we had 18 of those this year. We were 8-10 in those games. When Rubio played, we were 4-9. When he didn't, we were 4-1. It's a little bit of a, you know, small sample size, but maybe a little something there. All right, let's go back to the chat room. Appreciate all of you jumping aboard, part of the live broadcast today. You guys are awesome. Let's see. Good morning, Locke. What is your favorite coffee spot in Salt Lake? Love the show. Thanks, all you do. My favorite coffee spot in Salt Lake is Five Seeds in Park City. My favorite coffee spot in Utah. My favorite, and Harvest. My favorite coffee spot in Salt Lake is either Publix or Campos. Would be my two. I think Donovan's assists will go up since his outlet passes will be to good shooters. He can average 6 or 7. Thought from Bill Hendrick. I don't know. It depends on, really, this gets into kind of, we touched on this a little bit yesterday, Emmanuel Mudiay and how much he ends up playing the point guard and how much Donovan ends up playing the point guard. And Mike Conley should also have a larger impact on that. So I think that you will see, I don't know if Donovan's assists go to 6 or 7, maybe even less so. I think that Donovan will really, you know, be scoring when he gets the ball. I think that Conley and other guys will set him up more than him having to set himself up. From CTC Utes 44, what surprised you the most about the first few days of camp? Well, let's see. Dante's biggest surprise was how much Boyan could shoot. Rudy's really awesome. That jumped out to me. I still like Mia One. That's just a piece. I think he looks like he's swimming and he's a little, you know, he's young, trying to figure it all out. Leftover from OTAs. One of the things that's impressed me the most is how much Mike Conley talks with people. So that would be one of them. Welcome Dave Fox to watching the Instagram live. Good friend. Channel 2's Dave Fox, I'm assuming. Appreciate that very much for you tuning in. So I would say those are probably the top getaways so far. Bojan can really shoot. There's a Jeff Hornacek feel to Bojan, to what he's doing to this team. The thing that people don't really realize about Bojan is how much of it's in transition. With Joe, Rudy, and Donovan all trying for gold and losing, do you think it provides more drive for them at the end of the goal this year, or it's a null point? Skylar Slade, I hate to tell you this, I think that is a null point, because if that's what's driving them, then we have a problem. They should have bigger issues driving them. And frankly, by the time we get to June, or whenever we get there, it's going to be a lot, really, really long away from that. I don't think that'll still be driving them. The other one I thought was interesting, by the way, ESPN had the Jazz ranked fifth in the West in their power poll, and it's like hard to argue. Denver might be great. Like, Denver hasn't, we've kind of underplayed Denver. I think Denver, Utah ends up being the number one seed. Those would be my two number one seed picks. I think Houston's right up in there. I think the Clippers in LA, one of them becomes a non-home court advantage team just because of injuries, rest management, or, frankly, that Houston, Denver, Utah are going to go after it a little bit. Kyle wants tickets. Wish I could help you. Hearing Royce may start and Joe off the bench. Thoughts? I don't know, actually, but I think that there's something, there's something there that makes some sense. I personally am a believer of playing your best five players as many minutes as you possibly could. And so I think Joe's one of the five best players. But there's also a really good argument that you have Joe come off the bench. He helps Moutier as another ball handler. Moutier, as Quinn was talking about yesterday, so strong and powerful. And maybe you let him use some of that strength in a way that he hasn't been able to use it before. Maybe you lessen Joe's minutes and you still close with him. Royce is able to defend one of the elite wing defenders or four. You don't want Bojan or Joe guarding the big fours and getting beat up and tired throughout the season. So Royce, who's physically more skill, stronger, I guess, or adapt to that, you might have Royce do it. So there's a good argument to that, but I don't actually know what they're doing. I can't wait for Saturday. Does anyone know where to watch the game out of market? I would it's on local television here, so I wouldn't be surprised if NBA TV doesn't pick it up or something like that. I don't know the answer on that. Based on the first practices, what are your expectations of this team? I don't know, Jeremy, if my opening practices have changed that. I think it's really interesting the way Quinn's gone about it and what he's done and how much he's really going back to some extent. These are closer to the opening days of 6 years ago, Quinn Snyder, where he's instituting the fundamentals. Mike Conley told the story, he's stopping practice in the middle to, what are our principles? What are our fundamentals? What do we believe in? What's our number one principle? And, asking anyone from Mike Conley, who's not in the drill, to Mike Elliott, the director of health and, science, to, Ron Boone. No, he hasn't asked Ron Boone yet, but that's, he's making sure that everyone is on it and knows exactly what the goal and the task is at the time to that. So I think it's an interesting, so to some extent, to have that, just, he's almost had to go back with those five guys. He opened camp and it's those five guys he's talking to in the very first minutes of camp, of the new guys. What are your hopes with points gained, widespread media use, or just personal use? I actually just kind of keep it for us here. I have not published it. I don't need it out there. It's not some personal. I think it's an interesting way to look at the game. I think it gives me a better understanding of what's going on. I did an interesting podcast on Locked On NBA last night that's available for you right now with Ben Golliver, where I go through some of the projections. Our surprise teams are New Orleans and Brooklyn. We'll see how they play. I also think things are a lot closer in the East. Milwaukee's number one, and then everybody's really close, and I think the same thing is very true in the West a little bit. I have Utah and the Clippers as 1-2, and then have a lot of teams much closer together than I think other people do. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai. The Palisade is taking the car world by storm, and Murdoch Hyundai in Linden is selling it as fast as anyone in the country. There's some available at the 4646 South State Street store. There's also up in Logan. The Palisade is the new 8-seater I actually bought the Murdoch, the Hyundai Santa Fe a few years ago. And basically what they've done is they've upgraded the Santa Fe, turned it into an 8-seater, put all the bells and whistles in it. It's the Palisade. They still have the Santa Fe. That's just got the two rows. And if you want that third row, then you got to go to the Palisade now. The Tucson is the next notch smaller. And then there's the Zippy Fun Kona. If you do not have Murdoch on your list of Hyundai, of list of cars to shop, if you're shopping, at least go check it out. Find out what you can get from Hyundai. You'll find out you get more bells, more whistles, more features, more safety features, more advanced features than you can get in any other car for the price. It's really quite fabulous. Then you can decide whether the car's right for you, right? That's up to you. But the new Palisade 2020 Palisade, $39,825 for an 8-seat SUV that's just gorgeous. It's incredible. It's why that's flying, with all the safety features, it's why that is flying off. Go see Jason at 4646 South State Street. Stop by, say hi to Blake in Linden, or up in Logan, say hi to Ben and the crew there. And if you're heading over, let me know. Let me give him a heads up. Email me at dlock09@gmail.com and let me know that you're heading over to Murdoch so I can give him a heads up. Our last guy did that and saved a little bit extra. It's all at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. All right, let's continue with your questions. On the live, you can join us Locked On Live on Twitch, Periscope, Facebook, or YouTube. All of them available for you on the Locked On Live account. What are your, let's see, David, you've been talking a lot about Boyan possibly being the guy that leads the second unit. If that's the case, would you be surprised if he ended up being our second leading scorer behind Donovan? I would be surprised if he's not our second leading scorer. I certainly think he is. He will be our second leading scorer. That would stun me if he's not. So if you're playing fantasy, Jared, you should be listening to Locked On Fantasy Basketball, and you should be getting Boyan as your second leading scorer. Do you believe we start strong or have a slow start, hold people getting used to each other? I just think we're good, right? I think we're good. So it's going to take some time. We're going to see Jeff Green do something that's not Jazz-ish. We're going to see Mike Conley go back for the basketball. We talked about it on yesterday's show, all the little things where all these guys have to adjust, and we're going to see all of those things take place. And so that will certainly be an adjustment for some of these guys and how it, and we're going to see it. I think Rudy will be around 20 points a game this year. I kind of agree. I actually think there's a chance Rudy's going to average 20 points, 15 rebounds, and be in the MVP conversation. Then Boyan's not our second leading scorer. I take it back, Jared. I don't think Boyan's going to be our second leading scorer. I think Rudy's going to be our second leading scorer. So I'm going to take that back. I don't think Boyan is our second leading scorer. It's interesting to see. I mean, it's going to be quite an adjustment for some of these guys. Like, is Mike Conley really going to average like 12 points a game, and Boyan's going to average 15, and Rudy's going to average 19, and Donovan's going to average 24, and is everyone going to be all right with that? Like, it's interesting. I mean, I do think there's a lot of giving that has to be done here. If Mike is really lobbing it to Rudy enough times a game, Rudy could very well be our number one option on offense. If we get spacing right, I could see Rudy being the number one. Well, I don't think he can be the number one option because teams can take it away. And that's the criticism of Rudy's offense, is that it can be, you know, it can be taken away. And so that's where, if Rudy can learn the 3 or 5 footer, then he does not get it taken away anymore. In his ability to make that play would be a tremendous difference to who he is. And I think that's a little bit of what we're talking about there with Rudy, is whether he can, you know, when suddenly there's somebody who's in between him and the basket, can he make a play to score when they try to take that away? I think that will be, the big move for him. And if he can develop that. The other one I actually think for Rudy, by the way, is I think we're going to see some double teaming the ball in the pick and roll. And then Rudy's going to have to catch it earlier at about 8 feet and make a play. But if they're doubling Rudy and he catches it 8 feet, they have to be bringing a third guy into the picture to be able to stop Rudy from dunking. And so it's at that moment Rudy's going to catch it 8 feet and have to be able to make that pass. Maybe one of the keys to the season is whether Rudy averages 4 assists or not, and if Rudy can make that play or not anymore. If we're taking more threes, do you think Rudy has a decrease in rebounds as the ball generally goes further from the basket after missed threes? That's actually, I did a huge rebounding study this year. That's a little true, but not a huge amount of true. It still is in the paint. It's still in the paint. So it's not that different. From Mac Skies, is there a David Locke t-shirt? There was a Locked On Sports t-shirt back in about 1996 from my original talk show on Kissin 570, I think. And I still have one. So maybe next Thursday, I'll bring that one out for you. For those who are joining the show late, I have the Joe Ingles headband shirt on. I actually just did a partnership with Locked On, did a partnership with a t-shirt company, and they actually were the ones who made it. I didn't even know. So I got myself one. They're available at BreakingTee.com/LockedOn. BreakingTee.com/LockedOn. I think every Jazz fan has to have like a Joe Ingles t-shirt. They're kind of cool. Let's continue taking your questions. They've been just great today. Thank you. Has Exum played yet? Does he look like he is injured? They're working him, you know, progressively. He's part of the drills, doing a lot of things. He does not look injured, but I mean, as Dante said, his goal is to be ready for the playoffs. I don't think there's an urgency for him to be ready tomorrow. I think the urgency is making sure he is completely right, in the best position to not get injured again and be able to move in that direction. Does Mike Conley Jr., who's played a certain way the same way for the last 10 years, change his style to fit with the Jazz system? Does Snyder change a bit to fit Conley? I mean, I think you'll see Snyder fit a little bit. That one of Conley's best plays with Marc Gasol was that Gasol gets the ball on the elbow. Conley comes from a corner pin down the funny thing on Mike Conley, by the way, is he's not left-handed. For all the talk about Mike Conley being left-handed, he's actually not left-handed. He just shot left-handed as a little kid when he first got the basketball and started just always shooting left-handed, but he does everything else right-handed. I believe he plays golf right-handed. So he is completely ambidextrous. And so one of the plays, actually, if you think back about Memphis, is it would be Gasol on the left elbow catching, and then Conley comes from a pin down on that side with a step on a handoff, curling into the lane with a right hand, Gasol on a low roll, and they would just kill you on that. So I would see Quinn probably adjusting slightly to do that. The pick and roll with our starters is going to be a nightmare to guard. Four playmakers and shooter Rudy rolling. You know what? I'm sitting next to Ron Boone and Thurl Bailey. By the way, think about that. Think about that for a second. I get to go to practice. Okay, this is like so cool. My life is so great. So I go to practice every day. So that's the first part that's just like the greatest. I get to go to these practices and watch what's going on and see all of it and get a front row seat. And I get to talk to the coaches and find out what they're doing and ask all these questions and talk to Mike Conley afterwards. And all of that is so awesome. And then the best part is I get to sit next to Ron Boone and Thurl Bailey during every single one of these practices, because they come to every one. Tip of the hat to them. Neither of them need to do that, but they're so dedicated to being great at their craft. It's why they were unbelievable professional athletes. And I get to ask them questions, what they see. The other day I had a question, you know, and I drive them crazy. Oh, it reminds me back to when I was working with the Sonics and Lenny Wilkins, the Hall of Famer, only person to be a Hall of Fame player and coach in the Hall of Fame, was with us. And on the first day I looked at Lenny, I said, I got to tell you the truth here, Lenny. It's a gift for me to be able to round you every day. I'm going to ask you more questions and you're going to have to tell me to shut up. And he occasionally did. But we had our little van that we drove after every game, separate from the team bus, to get to airports. And I'd go sit right next to Lenny after every game and ask him all these questions and learn and learn and learn and learn. And now I get to do it with Ron and Thurl. And every time when I walk in the gym, I'll ask Thurl before a practice starts, hey, can you keep an eye on this for me and tell me your thought? Can you keep an eye on this? It is so great. And then I inundate them with numbers and they roll their eyes and go, ah, they're the best. It's so great. All right. Sorry, took some of your time there. I'll answer a few more questions. The Jazz have never banned headbands since Jerry Sloan left, Tyler. Tyler wants to know about unbanning the headbands. I think this is the stupidest discussion I've ever heard. It's all over everything. I'm never sure why. Not Tyler. I don't think you're stupid. I've never understood why. I don't think they banned, the league banned those like long flowy things. So anyway, all right. Brandon Whiteside, who's always very good, says, Locke, here's a dilemma. Last year we were getting fake news. We were? Oh no, not fake news. Not on this show we don't have fake news. We were told Crowder favors Rubio. We're spreading the court by standing on the perimeter to allow for the inside to be open. They were standing there. Brandon, you didn't listen to the show. I talked about how they were unguarded all the time. Well, now that no one was guarding them because they were horrible to find three, was that a lot? Well, it wasn't a lost year. We were like the third best team in the Western Conference last year. We happened to run into Houston. We were elite defensively. They brought what they brought. And I think the bigger issue was, if you go back to a year ago and go look at the offseason, there wasn't anything for Dennis and Justin to do. There wasn't a move there that was available. And so they really, it was a question of, you know, holding your powder dry until you could suddenly make